You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
And now, a Blaze Media podcast.
Hello.
We recording? Are we on? Just shake your head yes so the world can see. Yeah, yeah. For those of you watching and listening live on the 30th of July, 2020, welcome to Chewing the Fat. Huge day. A huge day across the country today. It's National Cheesecake Day. A day you can celebrate any day, really. It's National Chili Dog Day. A day you can celebrate any day, really. National Intern Day, a serious day you can celebrate any day. National Whistleblower Day, and National Father-in-Law Day. Wow. I mean, does it get any bigger than that? I think not. And it's also World Day, and seriously, a serious big thing. It's World Day Against Trafficking in Persons, which is, I mean, huge, right? I mean, we've talked to Tim Ballard before, head of Our Rescue. You can go to ourrescue.org and see what they're doing. They've got a big thing going on now with the Rise Up concert that you can participate in. I believe the concert is sold out. You're going to be able to watch it online, though. I mean, and you can catch an interview with Ballard on my YouTube channel, Chewing the Fat with Jeff Fisher. I mean, he's everywhere, at least in you know, all the circles that I see today, promoting World Day Against Trafficking in Persons. And it's, you know, it's a huge, important day. And I hope that you support Our Rescue in any way that you possibly can. So look, I'm going to go down some of the things that make today a huge day. I mean, we have to play the open, though, because I get hollered at if I don't let the open play. So here you go. So we had the launch this morning. We were headed to Mars. But, you know, I find it amazing that we had China launch to Mars. We had the UAE launch to Mars. And now we're zero launching to Mars.
And liftoff. As the countdown to Mars continues, the perseverance of humanity launching the next generation of robotic explorers to the Red Planet.
It was a beautiful launch.
And Atlas TU has gone to closed loop control. Coming up on 30 seconds into flight, the RD-180 is throttling down as expected. Engine response looks good. And Mach 1 Atlas 5 is now supersonic.
Now, I follow NASA's Perseverance Mars rover on Twitter, and it tweeted right after this that I'm past the bumpiest part of the ride. Goodbye to my protective fairing, and hello to the great beyond. So we're headed to Mars. I just want, you know, maybe China and maybe the UAE to remember that even if they get there a couple of days before us, just like the moon, the planets belong to us. We're the United States of America. I know you all think it's a global thing, but no, that's not the way it's going. Okay. Not going to happen. And we have, I mean, today, I told you, how do you celebrate National Intern Day? Do we know?
Yeah, I know.
I mean, I know.
Ask Bill Clinton.
I'm sorry?
Ask Bill Clinton.
That's what I'm saying.
That's the only way.
That's the only way that you think of National Intern Day.
Absolutely. You ask Bill Clinton and Monica Lewinsky and a little bit of Hillary to see, you know, if you're in kind of that love relationship where you're married and you celebrated National Intern Day the way that Bill did, then you have to make sure that you ask Hillary if you're that part of the, you know, of the relationship, if you've been Hillary'd or if you're Bill. So that's the only way you can do it, right?
I guess. I mean, they're telling me that I need to encourage companies to celebrate, empower, and recognize interns. Okay, I'm fine with that. Remember not long ago where they made it almost impossible to be an intern for companies? But we still have a day to celebrate them, so that's good. And Whistleblower's Day. No, we're not talking about the crossing guards. No, we're not talking about the referees out on the field with their little whistles. We're talking about those people who report corruption when they see it. So honor and support the people who speak up about fraud, abuse, or waste.
I would not mind celebrating that, but I expect it to be fair across the board. Because we put some whistleblowers on pedestals, and then the other ones, hashtag Clinton bout account. So, can we treat all whistleblowers the same way?
Speaking of pedestals, today is World Day Against Trafficking in Persons. Did I mention that?
You did. Which is kind of weird because that brings the whole show down. You're taking a page. You're taking a page out of Glenn Beck's Christmas speeches. Well, we're all having fun, and next thing you know, we're talking about baby body parts being sold, and kids are being trafficked.
Like, I know. So let's just let that one go.
Okay,
that's fine. Okay. We'll let that one go. So
now I did not know about the hot dog. I did not know about the hot dog one. So I'm going to celebrate that today.
Chili dog day?
Yeah, I'm about to make some chili dogs, and I'm
that
in.
That does sound like something to celebrate, to be
absolutely
honest.
You know what? Send us your pictures on social media. I want to see you guys eat some chili dogs. Homemade. Don't be cheating out there. Don't be going to 7-Eleven and getting a chili dog from 7-Eleven.
Yeah, or Sonic.
Or Sonic. Thank you. That was the one that... Sonic. Don't go to Sonic. We know our Sonic, because there's no way in the hell you have a 5-foot-long hot dog sitting in your fridge, and you just
well,
cooked it for this day.
That's not necessarily true.
Wait, do you have one?
Most people don't have foot-long hot dogs.
Well, see, not everybody can afford a Sam's Club membership like you.
Well, I'm just saying a chili dog and a cheesecake sound pretty good.
Oh, absolutely.
Right,
Jeffy, tomorrow is pretty Friday. Good. Saturday, I'm going to go to the farmer's market. I told you this last week. I'm going to get you that cheesecake on the mason jar.
Oh, yeah, in a jar.
Yes. And we'll celebrate on Saturday National Cheesecake. Because you're right.
Okay, well, I mean,
National
some
Cheesecake.
Of us may celebrate again.
Well, Saturday, okay. But you're right. I was going to give you credit. You celebrate National Cheesecake Day every day.
Any day.
Any day you can celebrate. There's
any
nothing
day.
Wrong with a nice coconut mango cheesecake or a chocolate cheesecake. Or a raspberry cheesecake. Oh, now I'm hungry for cheesecake.
I know. Oh.
Does your wife know how to make cheesecake?
Yeah.
Okay.
I say that hesitantly because I don't know that she ever has.
Okay. My grandma has tried to teach me how to make cheesecake, but it's
yeah,
it takes time.
But I can't. You know what? My father. Now you got me thinking about stuff that gets made in my house and that drives me insane. Is flan, whatever you want to call it. I never have liked that much. I mean, I eat it to make the people feel good when they make it, but I'd rather have cheesecake. So congratulations to the people that live in the Arkansas town of Harrison, the swinging town of Harrison, Arkansas.
By the way, Jeffy, I'm going to leave that space right there because that tension of waiting for that town in Arkansas was so good that I loved that. I was like, oh my gosh, what is the town? What is it? I felt a tingle. Everybody that is listening right now was at the edge of their seat. a couple of people hit the rail because that suspense was only a pro in radio is able
Thank
to
you.
Bring out
Thank
that
you.
Much
well,
emotion.
That's what I'm here for.
On a town in Arkansas.
That's what I'm here
for. Oh man, you had me going. I stopped typing. I stopped paying attention because I needed to know. I'm like, man, this town is legit.
Well, thank you. And that's what I'm here for. So the city council met last week to discuss turning people's water off because they weren't able to make payments. So they realized that, customers are having a tough time due to the coronavirus's financial difficulty issues that they're having. But you know what? Tough. We warned them. We're just going to turn their water off. And they did. We told them we're going to start cutting them off. So that's what we're going to do. So about 500 people in the city were either going to have their water cut off or some did already have their water cut off. So one of the citizens donated $15,000 to the city to pay the past due bills. And I thought, well, that's really nice. That's really nice. Now, I don't know I don't know how long that turns the water back on for these people. You know, does it turn the water back on for a month? And then they couldn't pay the previous bills before. They just start not paying again and milk it for another 2 or 3 months. I don't know. I don't know. I know that they have a project called, there's a project that should be available probably in, you know, every city across America, but this one's from Detroit, the Detroit Water Project, where anyone, Detroit is such a nice city. They're willing to take money from anyone to pay a resident's outstanding water bill. And you can do it online. So, and you can pay less than what they owe and you still get their water. You pay their bill for them. I think that's extra special. And then there was a city reported in Indiana where a donor paid over $200,000 on water and sewer bills for the month of April alone.
You know, I know you live in an ivory tower and you don't see us peasants down here. And me and you share the same, you know, Fort Worth utility when it comes to water.
I don't know where the water comes from. I just know it comes into my house.
Exactly. Exactly. Like I said, you don't worry about us little peasants down here and how we get water and how we're supposed to pay our bills. But did you get the letter? And I don't know why I'm asking this because I already know the answer because that's not my job. That's Amber's job. But maybe Amber brought it up. I don't know. I would have brought it up if I was your wife. But that during the months of COVID, you didn't have to pay your water bill. Did you know that in the city of Fort Worth?
Wait, what?
Yes.
No, I did see that.
Oh, so you did see that. Oh, okay.
Plenty of businesses that were allowing that. But if you, and I thought that was great, but if you were able to still afford to pay your bills, I guess the argument would be
pay the bills.
You know, the argument against paying the bill would be use the money to invest in something that will make you money, and then when you have to pay the bill again, pay it off. Right? So yeah. That you've put that money to work for you instead of working for the water department of the city. I mean, that's a pretty fair argument. If you're able to pay it, why not use that money to make you money and then pay them when they come knocking at the door wanting their money? And then you've used that money for you. I mean, that's the smart move. And people who are worth billions, that's what they do. That's exactly why people like me aren't worth $1 billion. You make fun of ivory toweredness, but I just figured pay the bill.
Yeah, absolutely. And me too. Pay the bill. And we talked about it. We talked about New York saying you can't pay
the
your
rent. Yeah.
Like, how many of those? Oh, and you can't evict us. Okay, fine. You can't evict it. You can't pay rent. But there is a light at the end of the tunnel when it comes to all these stuff.
Yeah.
And then now the mayor or the governor of New York, one of those two, let's say both, said this, that if COVID continues, they're going to have to raise the toll rolls. You have to pay more, and it'll be more tax that you have to pay. I'm like, you see, that's
well, they're going to raise the tolls, but they don't have anybody using the damn bridges going into the city anyway.
Yeah, you got Uber. You got the taxis. You got Lyft.
Yeah, nobody. Yeah, like I said, nobody's going in the cities. Yeah.
You're still going to the city. But yeah, oh, and then and then public transportation, like if you take the train or the bus or whatever they have in New York, that also going to go up in order to, I don't know, pay all those people that you haven't paid?
Yeah.
So somehow you, and I just, I've never understood about the defer, what is the defer payment? I never understood that. I just pay. If you still have a job and nothing has changed, like we had listeners that nothing has changed in their life. They're still working, income is coming. Guess what? Then you're one of the few that gets to continue to stimulate the economy. Keep paying. We can't.
Yeah. Well, look, look, the chickens have got to come home to roost at some point.
I like
right?
that saying. I really like that saying.
And they, I mean, they have to. And we're going to have a huge crisis, guaranteed. We're going to have a huge crisis on water getting cut off, power getting cut off, evictions out of
evictions.
Homes.
I think that's going to be the big one in 2021. Everywhere, Fisher, and I know you're thinking the same thing. Everywhere, eviction, eviction, eviction. Yeah. A high homelessness. Homelessness is going to go on the up. And then Motel 6 and Quality Inn, all those are going to be homeless motels.
Yeah. I look, they're already having all kinds of problems in New York alone, New York and San Francisco alone. I talked about the story, I don't know, a couple weeks ago or whatever, that they're having an issue with all the homeless people in the hotels.
Yeah.
Right? I know that's what you were referring to.
Yep.
And it's just horrible. Horrible. What we joked about at the time when they first started talking about it is coming true. And now, once again, and that's in San Francisco, right? It's just a disaster.
Yeah,
the hotels are being torn apart. They're being just destroyed with homeless people and drugs and the filth that they have brought with them. And now we're having, you know, there was a big story today about a church in New York, just one church. What church? That is upset because they have their guy, their cleaning guy, their maintenance man, strong maintenance man, that has to be 10 hours a day shooing people away from the front of their stupid church because the homeless guys are out there doing drugs, pooping on the stairs. They have to close the entrance doors because people were going inside to use it as a restroom. It's just, and it's going to get worse.
You had, and this is the one that, you know, a bunch of our listeners sent to us, because I remember, and it's one of those stories that you can't forget. Back in April, Jeffy, do you remember the homeless man that died at the hotel for quarantine? He was put there, and then now the hotel is in quarantine. It was in Kent, Washington. A homeless man who was being diagnosed with COVID-19 was found dead at the former Ecolodge Motel that the city turned into a quarantine site.
I mean, they have to.
No, they don't have to. No, no, no. They don't have to. What do you mean they have to?
No, no. I mean, if someone is sick at this place, I mean, every place else has got to be quarantined.
Oh, yeah. No, no, but I'm talking about, like, according to the King County officials, the Eco Lodge was being used as a quarantine site. And this homeless man died in that quarantine site.
Of course. Of course they did. I mean, look, the cleaning guy, you know, the maintenance man at the church, who's spending 10 hours a day or more shooing people away from the church. I mean, his quote, every day I'm fighting these guys. I've had to put my foot in a few asses. Right now I'm a security guard. Okay.
He better ask for a raise. That's all I'm saying.
Okay. Apparently this neighborhood, they just dropped homeless people off for this building. They just brought a busload of homeless people in, and there's some building that was supposed to be the housing place, like hotels in San Francisco. And I'm sure they have it in every city across America now, where there's buildings that are designated homeless buildings, and they just pull up and drop them off. So your neighborhood now has, you know, 300 or 400 new homeless people living there. Now, technically, I guess they're not homeless because you've given them a building to stay in. But, I mean, look, looking down from my ivory tower, as Chris says, in this neck of the woods here in Fort Worth, Texas, there's a mall or a shopping center that is, was one of the, busiest shopping areas in this area. And now we're starting to see homeless people there. That cannot stand. I won't have it. I won't have homeless people in this area. I don't want to see them. If I don't see them, it's not happening. Right? Right. That's what I thought. And before we go to the break room, look, you want to talk about not paying bills and evictions. I know that on the same day that Texas has been named the state with the best business climate in America. Okay. I know Governor Greg Abbott has announced, the ranking, and he's, all happy and patting himself on the back and promoting what a great job the state of Texas is doing. Yeah, you still have to wear a mask, though, don't you, Greg? You're still mandating that we wear a mask if we walk outside of our house. But that's another story. But I will say that just as a side note to that, the U.S. economy only shrank 32.9% in April to June. So don't worry about it. It's only the deepest decline since the government began keeping records. That's it, though. That's only three times more severe than, when it dropped only 10% in 1958. That's it, though. That's it. Don't even worry about it. Yeah, none of that could count as, no joke. Like we said in the this previous story about evictions and people not being able to pay their water bills and their power bills and whatever other bills they have. We need to really get this country back open for business again. I just watched a stupid show. Remember, what was the show? Oh, the Numbers. It was a stupid TV show called Numbers. And it was, FBI, and they get criminals, and the brothers, the one brother is the FBI guy, and the other brother is the superpower brain, and he figures out, all the numbers surrounding all the crime.
He's called a mathematician.
Yeah, whatever, the numbers guy.
No. And, you better honor him with the proper, it's mathematician.
Yeah. And so the one episode that I watched is some company has let out some Spanish flu, two versions of the Spanish flu, because he wanted to get the rights to the vaccine. He wanted the government to pay him money to create the vaccine. But during this whole thing, they're talking about locking down, having to shut down parts of neighborhoods and seeing where the virus will go and how it goes out from where it begins. And in the show, people are saying, well, we can't, tough. I'm still going out. I don't care. People get the flu all the time. We get colds, we get stuff. People still go out. You just have to be safe and be smart about it. Thank you. Look how far we've come from that mindset.
Well, not just that, Fisher. We all know that. We all know in the back of our head. We all know that the government is controlling us. And if you want to go down that rabbit hole, blah blah blah. But Fisher, I want to, if this was a court of law, you as the judge will say, Chris, what evidence do you have that will make you think of something that, the government is pushing all this? I want to direct you, Your Honor, to Exhibit A, an episode from The Simpsons.
My I'd like to call to order this secret conclave of America's media empires. Well, we're here to come up with the next phony baloney crisis to put Americans back where they belong, in dark rooms glued to their televisions too terrified to skip the commercials.
Well, I think...
NBC, you are here to listen and not speak. I think we should go with a good old-fashioned public health scare.
Yeah.
A new disease. No one's immune. It's like the summer of the shark, except instead of a shark, it's an epidemic. And instead of summer, it's all the time.
Now, I hate to be the guy who derails what everybody else loves.
He loves being that guy.
But, Janice, we do have standards. This can't be a made-up disease. The only moral thing to do is release a deadly virus into the general public.
We do have something we've been holding on to, but it hasn't been tested. Get over here, NBC.
Get it over here.
Well, we certainly believe in testing, but I...
And there it is. There you have it. Come on, Fisher.
Okay, as the judge, I would now hit the gavel and, you know, clear the courtroom and tell people that they're guilty, but I don't have a gavel. However, I do have one of our listeners who is making me a gavel. Huh? That's what I get out of the whole thing. That's what I get out of the whole thing.
Never
mind
the same,
the government bogged.
Is this the same person that made you the badge? Or is this a different person?
No, this is a different person, I think. Okay. You got to be careful with that because I'm not positive about that. Because if it's the same person, that's great. But I don't think it is. I think it's a different person. No, it's a different person because I had to send him the address, right?
Okay.
The person that made me the badge already has the address.
I just go to the break room just in case.
All right, let's go to the break room and get something to drink, shall we? Something ice cold. Oh, my gosh. So good. So, I mean, if you're listening live on the 30th of July, 2020, Herman Cain has passed away from, they say, COVID-19. At 74. We lost Bill Montgomery from COVID-19, co-founder of Turning Point USA, passed away. And my favorite was the headline for his death was co-founder of conservative student group Turning Point USA, Bill Montgomery has died from complications of the coronavirus. He was 80. He was 80. Okay. You know, it's not like, Bill was 18-year-old kid. Okay. So, but that's how we turn the narrative, right? We turn the narrative on that. Anyway, rest in peace to both those guys. And they will both be missed. And it's too bad, right? I mean, it's just, this is what's going to happen when we have this disease out there. And we all have to be as careful as we can. Just make sure you wear a mask everywhere you go. And now you have to wear goggles. And now you have to wear a mask and goggles and a shield and gloves. And don't go outside unless you're wearing it. We're close to that. We're close to being made to wear some sort of hazmat suit when we go outside.
What do you mean we're close? It already happened. Dr. Fauci did an interview on Instagram with, I think it was ABC. And did you not see that interview?
I miss the Dr. Fauci interviews.
Oh,
I care so much about
goodness.
What he has
okay,
to say.
Keep reading. I'm going to play this for you.
If he tells me that I have to wear a hazmat suit, we're going to shut this country down. I've had enough of it. If he tells me that, I swear.
I think we're going to get to a point where eye protection is recommended.
You know, it might. I mean, if you really want perfect protection of your mucosal surfaces, just for your audience, Jan, as you very well know, you have mucosa in the nose, mucosa in the mouth, but you also have mucosa in the eye. And that's one of the...
Wait, Fisher, don't you hate when you get mucosis in your eye?
First of all, we know that already, and we made the jokes about it already forever, and now they're going to make the jokes real. They're going to make the jokes real.
That,
go on.
You know, theoretically, you should protect all the mucosal surfaces. So if you have goggles or an eye shield, you should use it. I mean, it's not universally recommended, but if you really want to be complete, you should probably use it if you can. It's just that it's so easy for people to just make a cloth mask.
Wait.
Right.
Wait, hold on. But wasn't the CDC... No, I'm sorry. I'll take that back. Wasn't it the stupid doctor general, the surgeon general, that said we need to make our own masks?
We can. Yeah, we can.
So, dude, I'm just going to go
trying
outside.
To, you know, he was trying, his point was, if I remember right, I mean, his point was that everybody should wear a mask, and even if you're financially strapped, you know, you can make your own masks out of stuff so that you're able to wear a mask.
Yes.
And that was his point, so you don't feel like, well, I can't afford to buy all these masks. And he's right. You know, I mean, that's why they made a big deal out of, you know, wrapping underwear around your face. And, you know, and then Haynes said, hey, that's a pretty good idea. We'll just make our own. And we've got the Haynes underwear masks now you can buy in the packages.
Just,
I love those.
Our good buddies at MyPillow. Remember, they started making masks too.
He's created. Yeah, I mean, he went out of. He was creating masks for the medical people, right? Because we were told that the medical people needed the mask, and we were short on masks, which is what got him turned around to making those masks.
Yes.
And then by the time he started making all these masks, it had changed from medical to. Everybody in the world is going to wear a mask when they step outside of their house, or we'll shoot you dead. Okay, well, they haven't gone that far.
Yet.
Yet. All right, I know I try to stay away from political stuff, and we just heard from Fauci a little bit, and I have to just remind you that you're going to hear everywhere. I wish sometimes our president, Donald Trump, would just zip it, but he doesn't. And even if he just would stop, I don't know. What he should do is tweet something to a separate Twitter hold and then go back later and go, oh, okay, I can tweet this. Or go back later and say, nah, I don't need to tweet that. Because, you know, he tweeted about with universal mail-in voting, not absentee voting, which is good. 2020 will be the most inaccurate and fraudulent election in history. He's right there. I mean, I don't disagree with him. It will be a great embarrassment to the USA. I don't disagree with him yet. This is where he should have stopped. The tweet should have ended right there. Just tweet. Great embarrassment to the USA. Tweet. Delay the, he goes on though. He couldn't stop himself. Delay the election until people can properly, securely, and safely vote. Tweet. He shouldn't have done that. He should have, it should be blocked. It should have stopped, because now all we're going to hear is, yep, the dictator wants to change and stop the vote, extend the vote, take people's rights away. That's what the dictator wants. I mean, what are you doing, Mr. President?
I do.
What are you doing?
I do have a question for you, because if we were to do mail-in ballots, it will be through
my people.
Through your people, right?
Through my people at the USPS, yes.
Okay. And did you see the experiment that was done to your people about mail-in ballots?
Chris, we can't be expected to be 100% all the time.
Okay. So this person here sent in ballots. I'm going to give you the quick notes, but I want to go and we want to jump in right here at this point when he goes and pick up the mail-in ballots that they mail to themselves.
Okay.
In the following week, we checked our P.O. box for the results.
Mail pickup notice, there's more.
When we went to collect everything, though,
nothing.
Most of our votes seem to be lost.
That's all I have back there right now.
You're short, huh? You're totally short. I believe you.
All right, good. Have a good day.
Okay, take care.
We had to ask for a manager.
We're trying to do something about mailing ballots.
And that's explain ourselves before someone finally found our votes.
They had me somewhere else.
They were somewhere else.
Two.
We soon discovered another problem. Missorted mail. Two pieces of it.
We got a birthday card from Mike to Ronnie. Have a sweet B-day. Get it? There's a B on top.
When the birthday greetings ended,
12, 13,
we found a bigger issue. 21% of our votes hadn't materialized after 4 days.
Oh, no.
And the batch we'd mailed a week prior Some of those were missing too.
So of our 100 ballots, 97 arrived, which sounds pretty good, unless you consider the fact that that means three people who tried to vote by mail in our mock election were in fact disenfranchised by mail.
Any comments from the future governor of the United States Post Office?
We cannot be expected to be 100%. We can only strive to get to 100%. And sure, we have an issue from time to time on misappropriated mail, but we're still the most accurate thing you've got. Thank you. Good night. No more questions. I know. I said I believe everything he said is right up to, and he should have stopped that embarrassment to the USA tweet. He should have deleted the delay the election until people could probably securely and safely vote.
And back here, here, Chris Cruz with Chewing the Fat reporting. I want to ask another question to the governor of the USPS. Yes. Why are you trying to reach an agreement and have reached an agreement for a $10 billion loan from the Treasury Department should the need arise? Why are you asking for $10 billion?
We need the money to secure things that are going on with our company. Look, we have run in the red for quite some time, and we've continued to try to keep up our diligent service around the country. Many people don't realize that the mail just never stops, and it's a very difficult job. So we need this money to enhance our work for the people. Why is that a problem?
By the way, disagreement.
No more questions. No more questions. I have to go now.
Disagreement comes right after the USPS tells the government that we're expecting to run out of money by September.
I know. I said we've been running. It's been tough. Look. I've asked to be in charge of that joint for years. We wouldn't have this problem if I was. I'll tell you that right now. It would be closed if I was.
I'm sorry,
but shut down.
They have seen an increase of e-commerce, which is delivery packages increased from 20 to 50%, and in April from 60 to 80%. Sorry, 20 to 50 in April, 60 to 80 in May. So. Okay. How is it you not being profitable yet? USPS.
I'm not sure. I haven't. Now, I personally have not seen the books. I would like to say that they should make a better deal with these companies, i.e., Amazon, with the head. I.e., Apple, i.e., Facebook, i.e., Google. You know, the heads of the four families, and make a better deal with their delivery prices. Right. So. That Amazon got so pissed they just created their own delivery. We'll just do it ourselves. Okay. No. Why did you let that happen? It's just silly. Just silly.
I just now, say I would have been fine with Amazon saying we'll buy the USPS. We'll buy it.
Well, with the infrastructure, they still could. Because the infrastructure. Structure that the USPS has right now would still benefit Amazon. Jesus, I could sell this to Amazon. I could get me into Bezos right now. I could make this happen.
Well, I don't know if you want to cover that here, but Bezos doesn't know how to talk on Skype. So I don't know if it will be something that...
I'll go to his office. I'm not sick. I'm not sick.
Okay, because I recommend...
Jeff looked like he'd put on a few LBs a little bit. He'd stopped working out a little bit. Kicked the wife to the curb. He's got the girlfriend set up.
I've seen it personally, but I've
him work out.
I say that if you're going to do the whole Jay's Bezos, you're right. He does look a little bit, you know, more fit than before. But I'm saying that
less.
No, he looks good. He looks good. He's rocking the single man look. Like I'm single. I'm ready to mingle.
They all look great. I'm single, looking to mingle. I believe that's.
Which, by the way,
that's his pinned Twitter. That's his pinned tweet on his Twitter account and on his Instagram.
For someone
single, I'm ready to mingle.
For someone that started a bookstore, that bookshelf behind him is pretty empty.
Let's talk about a little bit the heads of the Ford family. I was going to go into a couple other stories that are funny and make me laugh. We'll get to those, in the next segment, because I'm probably yapping here to the end of the show now. So it's probably almost time to wrap up. So let me say, subscribe to the podcast, Chewing the Fat. Subscribe to this podcast, Chewing the Fat. All right, I don't care. It's available everywhere. In fact, if you go to the Blaze podcast page, if you go to theblaze.com/podcast and click on Chewing the Fat link, it appears like we're everywhere, because we are. You go to that page, every platform is listed on that page. So, I mean, we are everywhere.
Well, not just that, and you're also primarily on Spotify, the house of Michelle Obama, Kim Kardashian, Jeff Fisher.
Yes. Joe Rogan. Doing mushrooms with Post Malone, and
Did you see that interview? Did you see the interview?
It's awesome.
Amazing.
It was awesome.
Unbelievable.
Anyway, and well, I'm sorry.
Unbelievable that the guy that is
who's not doing broadcasts on mushrooms? That's my question. Who among us? Thank you.
Nobody's raising their hand.
Everyone. That's what I thought. Everybody. That's what I mean. That's my point. All right. So. Jeff Bezos, at the heads of the four families. Oh my gosh. Well, that's where I was talking about. And, if any one of those four men, I know we got to go and get done with this, and we'll get into the podcast in the next segment, but just, I'm going to leave you with this. All right. If you even thought for a second that these four guys would go in front of this judicial special hearing questioning and walk out of there with anyone saying, oh, you know what? Let's just leave him alone. I think we're fine. Because at the end, what happened? We hear the letter of, I think they're too big still after this meeting. I think they're too big. They're too big. Then why did you have this stupid hearing? Just try to bring them down. It's just... We'll get to how he didn't know how to unmute the mic, though, in moments on Chewing the Fat.
Download and subscribe to more content at theblaze.com/podcasts.
Okay, so I know we'll get to Jeff Bezos and the hearing, and I've got some other stuff to talk about with you that's going on around the world. But right now, the John Lewis funeral is going on, and everybody's there. The world's there. We've been paying respects to this guy around the country for the past month and a half. We've had a novella for this guy. I know it's not a month and a half. Don't look at me like that. The guy just died a week and a half ago, Jeff. I know. But we couldn't do anything. We postponed the hearing yesterday that was supposed to happen on Monday because of the John Lewis showing. So I'm just saying, we postponed stuff for this guy already. And so today they're having their big thing. And I see where, if you're, listening to the show live at the time, W was speaking, giving a eulogy for Lewis at the funeral, and he was trending. And you listen to a little bit of it, and it either makes you miss him or realize why you don't miss him, one or the other. And then the guy, is that the Reverend?
The reverend has got to come out and promote.
What else is happening on the show?
No, I'm not going to let you speak ill of George, because he did a great job.
I didn't
He's
say
been
he
called
didn't.
An American
I'm just
saint.
Saying that it leads you down the road
to
of
give
either
up everything.
Really missing him, or he's not missing him
to
so
bear
much.
Witness to the truth that drove him all his life. That we could build a world of peace and justice, harmony and dignity and love.
Come on.
Right there. That's what I mean. I know.
Great.
That's what I'm saying.
Good. I get
either
flashbacks.
Way.
I get flashbacks.
I know. And again, I say you get flashbacks, so you're not
all
sure
good.
Whether you miss
all
them
good
or
memories.
Whether you don't.
All good memories, Jeff Fisher. Move
so
on because
Reverend,
you're going to piss me off.
The Reverend comes out, and he's got to promote what else is happening for the rest of the show. And he promotes that Barack is coming up.
Yes.
Coming up on the program, the great Barack Obama.
Well, when this was posted, it was the Reverend, and he says only John Lewis can bring three presidents to the house of the Lord. And then he says George Bush. The camera pans to George Bush. Laura looking great with a kind of like a skin color mask. the former president has a black mask. But they're all, you know, mask. And
well,
then
says, you got a black mask. Yep. You're in mourning.
Yes. And then you have, and now we have William something Clinton. And
Jefferson.
He gets caught. He doesn't know that he's about to be on TV. And he's looking all old over there, like all shivery with glasses on and a mask. And as soon as he realizes that he's on camera, he pulls a Jeffy and takes off his glasses.
Gotta take the glasses off.
And then now I'm not old because I don't have glasses. Somehow that mindset, you know. And then the Reverend ends with, and the Reverend.
Listen here, my friend.
Yeah.
You and I are going to fight here in a second, so just go on with your story.
And then the Reverend says, and President Barack Obama.
Yeah, in a little while, we're going to hear from Barack Obama coming up.
The camera pans
top of the hour.
Full screen for the full church. Barack Obama is not there yet.
And when we say yet, I bet he ain't coming.
You don't think he's coming?
He ain't going to be there. You can quote me on that. He ain't coming. He's not going to be there.
I think right? He has to be there.
He and Michelle are going
to
Skype in.
He has to be there.
Could be there.
You know why I tell you that he has to be there? Think about it. He's the only, as of right now, black president. So you tell me the two white boys are going to take the full credit for coming into the John Lewis funeral?
Well, I wish we could be there, but during the pandemic, Michelle and I can't get away. We're just stuck here on our 100 acres of, our multi-million dollar property up here. Sorry. Wish we could be there. John, man, what a great job you did, huh? You fought for civil rights, and it was great to work with you when I was president. And man, we miss you. Right, Michelle? Yeah, okay. And we got to go. See you later. George, good to see you. Billy, good job. And we'll talk to you later. If that doesn't happen, then what? They walk in, they take the spotlight. He and Michelle walk in late. Let's bring up Barack and Michelle, and they come walking in under the spotlight down the aisle. That could happen. Hey, how you doing? Shaking everybody's hand as he comes in. Oh, wait, he can't shake hands anymore. Fist bumping? Nope, can't do that anymore. Elbow bumping? Maybe we do a couple of elbow bumps on the way down. That'd be great. Huh, so sad. And that thing yesterday with Bezos. I was happy to see that none of the heads of the four families were wearing masks because they were isolated in their offices. I was happy to see that. But you'd think, one thing I waited for some of them to screw up, and, you know, Bezos was the one, right? I mean, I know Kim.com tweeted out who of the four tech CEOs questioned by Congress today did the worst job in answering questions. And his little poll here had Zuckerberg at 54.4%, Bezos at 20.2%, Sundar Pichai at 19.6%. Tim Cook won the day at 5.8%. So, I mean, you'd think that Jeff might have come a little bit closer to winning had this not happened.
Mr. Bezos? You're on mute.
Mr. Bezos, I believe you're on mute.
I'm sorry.
I was telling you what I said I didn't want you to hear is really what's happening.
It took him 8 seconds to figure out the little button at the bottom of your screen with the little microphone was on or off. That's the guy that is heading to be the first trillionaire.
Yeah. Well, Apple. I mean, he's going to be the first 200 billionaire, right?
I think
he's not worth 200 billion yet.
No, but he'll be the first one to be worth $1 trillion.
In fact, I don't even know how he survives. He's only worth like 186 billion or something like
absolutely.
That.
You're right. I was very, very interested that, one, the guy who created Amazon has no books on his bookshelf. Two, that no one was wearing a mask.
Yeah, I was happy to see that.
I was really interested because even, yes, they're all in their offices or conference rooms. Mark. Mark was in his bedroom. You could tell. That's his bedroom. Like if you
he
go,
just does not come off good.
If you go, so you go Tim Apple conference room, Yeah, that's a conference room. You can see, you know, the walls in the back. That's a conference room. Then you go Sunda Pinchui. That's conference room. He's in the conference room. Absolutely.
Pikachu,
yes. Then you have Bezos. He's on another conference room that they forgot to put more books in the bag. Then you got Marky. Marky Mark is...
He says a lot of the right things.
He does.
He just doesn't come off well at all.
No, he doesn't. But...
he just doesn't come off as good. And everybody knows, you know, look, they're all listening to you. They're all tracking you. They all try to pretend like, no, what are you talking about? We don't do that. That's third party. That's not us. We're not tracking you. No, in fact, we've made a conscious effort at our corporate headquarters that we do not track people. Now, sure, most of the apps that you get through our company track you, and sure, we get that information from those apps to us because you've already said, you've already signed in and said that it's okay for that particular app to track you. Sure, we get that information, but we don't specifically track you. Okay, thank you. Appreciate it. Take care. Thanks for coming. I mean, it's just a show. I don't even know why. It's just dumb. It's just really dumb. And these guys aren't winning anybody over. And they're not running people away either. We've all clicked okay. Have you heard them? So, oh, people have already.
And you know, that's your mindset. And I'm very interested. I love your mindset. I click okay. Eh, fine. I could,
whatever.
I hit okay. It makes my life easier. Okay.
I just want to take the picture. That's all. I just want to take the picture. Yeah. Yep. You know. Yep. You know what? I did go to the Walmart neighborhood store today. I did. You tracked me. You got me. I mean, it's just, do I want them to do that? No, I don't. But I was. Serious business. I was happy that none of them were wearing a mask. Not one. Because we know, according to news reports around the country, that we have a mask debate going on in this country.
Morning, as COVID cases mount across the country, the mask debate is intensifying.
People are very passionate on both sides of the great mask debate.
The partisan mask debate is heating up.
Mask debate's growing.
The president is trying to have us cover the mask debate.
CVS, Target, and Walgreens are getting in on the mask debate.
The mask debate now taking center stage at local restaurants.
It's 9 minutes after six now, and there's new video of a raging mask debate.
The mask debate in Georgia is getting ugly.
The great mask debate in West Virginia might soon be coming to an end.
This mask debate is far from over.
How many mask debates have you gotten into? Love to hear it.
The mask debate was taken to a whole other level.
Bishop David Zubik tells Pittsburgh's Action News 4 he found himself in the middle of a mask debate.
And we'll dive deeper into this pet store mask debate.
So we're going to begin with this thing we're calling the great mask debate.
This morning.
Hey, it's 9 minutes after six. So before we get to traffic and weather, we want to head into the mask debate that we're having. The one thing that, and we all look, are we all having the mask debate? You betcha we are.
And we're in quarantine. What else are you supposed to do?
And are the people who want to make the case that, yeah, you can wear a mask if you want to, but don't tell me I have to wear a mask. We're losing. And, the personal responsibility and personal choice and individual freedom are slipping away. Grab onto it while you can. Grab onto it because you've got to hold on to it. Another thing that I took from the great mask debate coming up, it's 9 minutes after six on News 4, is intensify. That's another word that's making the rounds. Now look for it. You saw, I think it was this past weekend that it made a big deal where it was reported that the peaceful protests intensified. Oh, is that what happened? You mean, so people that were there peacefully protesting, throwing things, burning things, those people were intensifying the issue? Huh. 'Cause I saw Elijah Schaefer from the Blaze TV.com, Elijah Schaefer, slightly offensive broadcast, where he was recording people in Portland slightly intensifying. He had one meth head. I shouldn't call him a meth head. One person on the streets in Portland that may or may not have been using. Talking about what was happening to him. It was pretty good.
For just fucking being here.
Oh yeah, wait, hold on a second. I should. If you're in the kitchen and you're making dinner and you're listening to Chewing the Fat, thank you. I appreciate it. Tell the kids, hey, go put your headphones on and watch Pikachu or do whatever you do, because this particular clip from Elijah Schaefer is
uncensored.
Big guy. All right. There's big guy language. There's big guy action if you happen to watch it on Blaze TV. So listen up, kids. Go put your headphones on and zip it.
For just fucking being here.
Like, they will shoot you.
Can you explain to me what happened in the situation where you just got here?
I was peacefully protesting, and
literally just standing
the federal
there.
Agents come out and shot me
standing
with beanbags.
Just standing there,
like, locked me up for about six shots. Shot me six times.
Oh,
peacefully
no.
protesting, and I want
what,
my
what
friend.
What do you define as peacefully protesting? What specifically? Why would they have shot you? Where did they get it wrong?
Because I support the people I walk with, and we have a big presence.
For your fucking
we have a
community.
Big presence
what were
right now.
At the time that they shot community. You?
Right at the time I was doing it, I was banging on the fence and chanting "Black lives,
oh.
Black lives matter. All cops are bastards." And
yeah,
yeah.
Here we are. Bag.
Downtown Portland.
Did they ask you to vacate the area?
Oh, they tried to snatch me. They pulled out zip ties, shot me with beanbags. And tried to steal me.
Were you the same guy that was involved with the fire too? The fanning the flames?
No.
Different guy?
You can see the look of guilt on his face because he knows that I captured the video of him starting a fire. Yeah, that's actually why he got shot. He was behind the barrier trying to set the federal courthouse on fire.
I mean, incredible.
But I was
incredible.
Peaceful protesting. And for those of you that, you know, were watching live, you can see the saliva and the meth just spewing out of his mouth.
Well, you couldn't because it was behind a mask. Oh, wait.
Exactly.
His girlfriend did have one, though.
Yes, girlfriend
did
have one.
The girlfriend was just effing there. You know, it's just there, you know, with the community. She had a mask on. So that's good. She cared. You know, she cared about you.
She's not only a mask, she had a mask and goggles. So she already knew Fauci's...
ahead of the curve.
She was ahead of the curve. Yep.
Ahead of the curve. She wouldn't have been wearing those just so that, you know, she couldn't be pepper sprayed.
No. She just
okay.
understood that you have mucus on your mouth, on your nose,
right.
and your on
eyes.
Your eyes.
Right.
And you have to protect the mucus holes. So.
Thank you. In fact, you could quote Chewing the Fat on that. It's very important. You have to protect your mucus holes. I think we just leave it right there.